I'm Manila Chan. You are tuned into Modus Operandi. An American journalist dies in Ukrainian custody. His only crime was critical reporting that didn't align with the wartime propaganda coming from his home country. This week, we'll delve into the diplomatic failures that led to Gonzalo Lira's death at the hands of an American vassal state and the bias behind which American life is worth saving. All right, let's get into the MO. It wasn't his first run-in with the law in Ukraine, but Gonzalo Lira seemed to know that this last arrest would somehow be different, potentially even leading to his demise, as he mused on his YouTube channel. Now, some called him a YouTuber, others a journalist, a writer. Gonzalo Lira wore many hats, and he often lived much of his day in front of a webcam, appearing as a guest or pundit on matters of geopolitics, expressing his thoughts on this or that, and often just sharing what real life was actually like for an expat in Ukraine. So when the special military operation was launched, and Americans were deluged with David and Goliath stories, Gonzalo Lira often refuted those claims, dismantling the praise heaped upon Ukraine as a beacon of democracy with its brave young president, Volodymyr Zelensky. The SBU began knocking on his Kharkiv apartment door. They paid him many visits and carted him off to jail several times. Now, when the weather became more amenable in summer of 2023, Lira decided it was time to head to Hungary so that he might escape the prediction he made for himself. In a social media post, a video, he said he was within a few miles of the border. But this could be the most treacherous part, he said. Watch.
You have to recognize when you have actual control over some situation, and when that control is beyond you, and there is absolutely nothing that you can do. Nothing that you can do except move forward. So either I will cross the border into Hungary in the next couple of hours, or I will be arrested again, and God knows what will happen to me. So if I post again, here on the video and on Twitter, then you know that I made it. And if I don't, then you know that I didn't. And I would ask you humbly that if you don't hear from me again, anybody and everybody who's watching this video, please raise a ruckus, raise a fuss. Because ultimately, you know, as you can see in the indictment that I posted on Twitter, all of the pages are there. You can read it for yourself in Ukrainian and in English. The charges against me are just because of my opinion about this conflict. I did no harm to anyone. And they arrested me because they wanted to have on the nightly news a short little video of how they are fighting the propagandists. That's it. That's why they arrested me. The extortion stuff that I discussed, that happened later when they realized that I wasn't a poor schmuck. But the start of the genesis of this whole situation is because I had an opinion that went against the narrative. And that's why I went to prison. And that's why, if I'm arrested again, I will die in prison. So I ask you, please, as many people as possible, the American State Department knows exactly who I am and the situation I'm currently involved in. And they know the fate that awaits me. They know it. You know, they have that saying that I forget the wording exactly. You know, I'm a little stressed out, as you can imagine, but they have that saying that people are fundamentally good, but for evil to triumph, all you need is the indifference of good people. Please don't be indifferent to my fate. I ask you this very humbly. Please recognize that, well, the literal death that awaits me if this doesn't work out. Understand what's going on.
Now, that video proved to be his last. He was scooped up by the SBU before he could reach Hungary. And in about 9 months, Gonzalo was dead. On social media, many people around the world expressed their outrage, their sadness, their shock and horror upon hearing this news being confirmed by his father, Gonzalo Lira Sr. Joining us to discuss this and the diplomatic failure of the Biden administration to save an American citizen is Daniel McAdams. He is the executive director of the Ron Paul Institute and co-host of the Ron Paul Liberty Report. He also spent many years working on Capitol Hill. Daniel, thanks so much for being with us. So first, the death of Gonzalo Lira was definitely sad news, but at least for me, it wasn't a surprise. I mean, it seemed like the writing was on the wall for him. I mean, was it a surprise to you? I mean, the death itself, but perhaps more surprising, what little the White House did to help free him, if any effort at all. I mean, not Joe Biden, not Tony Blinken. How did a U.S. citizen get left to die in what we can only imagine was a Ukrainian gulag?
Yeah, I mean, part of me, Manila, was surprised, shouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't have thought that the Biden administration would be so brazen in completely ignoring the plight of an American. He had a pretty big following on the internet. A lot of people were tuning into his shows. I mean, he was extraordinarily valuable because he was an American on the ground telling us things as he saw them at a time when not many journalists were on the ground in that area. But that also made him a huge danger because, as you point out in your introduction, he challenged the narrative that the Biden administration was relying on of a plucky little Ukrainian democracy defending our values against the hordes of Russians invading Ukraine. So he challenged that and was dangerous. I didn't think, to be honest, though, that the administration would have let it go as far as it did, because it is clearly a black eye on this administration.
Now, how comparable is Gonzalo's story to that of Julian Assange? I mean, many people, including his wife Stella, have described Julian's case as murder in slow motion. Are the two cases comparable?
I think they are comparable. In one sense, and I hesitate to say this, but Gonzalo Lira is an American citizen, was an American citizen. He was born in California. I think some people would like to discount that because his name sounded more according to his South American heritage. He was an American. He was held in a country that was funded, armed, trained, and was essentially a puppet of the United States. Therefore, the U.S. government had a legal responsibility, now not necessarily to spring him from jail, although the offenses for which he was arrested are, quote, justifying the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which the rest of us would just say basically free speech. He saw things differently and was arrested for that. The case is different, though, than, say, for example, he was just a petty shoplifter and he picked up some things in a Kharkov department store that he didn't pay for. Well, the State Department would have an obligation to represent him, but not necessarily to spring him. This was a very different case. This was a political case. And the fact is they did nothing to help him.
Yeah, and like you said, Ukraine is supposed to be a U.S. ally. We can go as far as saying a vassal state at this point. If all it would have taken was one stern phone call from Biden or Blinken to Zelensky to free Gonzalo, why didn't they do it? I mean, compared to all the hoops that they jumped through to free the WNBA star Brittany Griner, that pun is intended, from Russia, where she was actually found guilty of drug charges. And she was, of course, the lesbian, African-American, Olympic gold medalist athlete who checks all those diversity boxes, scoring lots of points with the Biden base in an election year, you know, coming up. The U.S. mainstream media, of course, all over that story. Diplomatically, the Biden administration twisted themselves into knots to free her, trading her for Victor Boot, of all people, the infamous Russian arms dealer who the media called the Merchant of Death. I mean, Nicolas Cage even played a character inspired by Boot in Lord of War. If Boot was so dangerous, so notorious, why trade him for a basketball player, but not even bother to send a nasty gram to Ukraine about Gonzalo?
Well, because like Julian Assange, you mentioned earlier, Gonzalo Lira told the truth. He told uncomfortable truths for the U.S. government, which is the rhetoric does not match the reality, whether it's in the war to liberate Iraq or the war to liberate Ukraine. Both of them saw on the ground and saw from their sources something that contradicted the sources. And I would say probably, I'm certainly Blinken knew about Gonzalo Lira, but I would say probably the person with their fingers on the pulse or the trigger, depending on how you look at it, would be Victoria Nuland. No doubt she's watching it like a hawk. She knew Gonzalo was there. Gonzalo's father emailed the State Department constantly. I heard from several people every week, every couple of days, what are you going to do for my son? How are you going to help my son? They knew what was happening. The fact is, people like Victoria Nuland and Victoria herself wanted him dead, and now he's dead.
Yeah, he was definitely, like Julian Assange, inconvenient to the state and the narratives to manufacture consent for a war. Time and time again, we see this storyline. Don't go anywhere, Daniel. I got a lot more questions for you. Coming up next, we'll get into diplomatic precedence and standard operating procedure when Americans get locked up abroad. We'll discuss it when we return with Daniel McAdams. Sit tight, the MO. We'll be right back.
At the end of the 18th century, Great Britain began to conquer and colonize Australia. From the very beginning of the British penetration to the continent, natives were subjected to severe violence and deliberate extirpation. According to modern historians, in the first 140 years, there were at least 270 massacres of local people. Any resistance to the British was answered with doubled cruelty. Hundreds of natives were killed for the murder of one settler. Indigenous Australians were not considered complete people. No wild beast of the forest was ever hunted down with such unsparing perseverance as they are. Men, women, and children are shot whenever they can be met with. Squatter Henry Myrick wrote in a letter to his family in England in 1846, Australia's past is rightly described as blood-soaked and racist. If at the beginning of colonization there were 1.5 million indigenous people living on the continent, then by the beginning of the 20th century, their number had decreased to 100,000 people. Despite the indisputable historical facts, the problem of full recognition of the crimes of white Australians against Aborigines has not been resolved so far.
Thank you.
welcome back to The MO. I'm Manila Chan. Hollywood A-listers like Claire Danes have depicted harrowing stories of an American being locked up abroad unjustly and the consternation that it creates for Washington. But is this true in real life? Daniel McAdams, the executive director of the Ron Paul Institute, is back with us. Thanks so much for sticking around, Daniel. So let's go to this whole Hollywood topic. I can think of the case of Laura Ling, a journalist working for the now defunct Current TV, Al Gore's brief media venture. She's the younger sister of journalist Lisa Ling, who at the time in 2009 was a special correspondent for The Oprah Winfrey Show. So these two women, they're well connected, to say the least. So after a 140-day captivity in North Korea, we saw Bill Clinton himself fly into Pyongyang to rescue Laura Ling and Yuna Lee, another American journalist captured with Ling. Why was Ling's life more worthy of saving than Gonzalo's?
Well, we're in a depressing era, Manila, where everything has now been politicized, you know, and this was one of the triumphs of Soviet leadership in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union, where even your personal and interpersonal relationships were politicized. We certainly have the politicization of justice here in the United States. Someone like Gonzalo Lira, who told uncomfortable truths, was to be ignored and blacklisted, whereas somebody, as in the case you mentioned, who could give a black eye to North Korea, well, that's a unique opportunity. You know, it's something to be taken advantage of. And so all of the animals in the barn are not equal, Manila, I think, unfortunately. And Gonzalo Lira sadly found that out. Both of these were practicing journalism, but one of them was doing the right kind of journalism and one was doing the wrong kind of journalism. And that's why he died, sadly, in a cold dungeon.
Yeah, and I think it's really worth mentioning, highlighting the fact that, you know, she's a Ling, right? She's one of the Ling sisters who they're connected to Oprah. You're connected to Al Gore, who's directly connected to the former president of the United States. You work for these people, right? And the narrative of the North Koreans and what have you, it just all worked out really well in Ms. Ling's favor, obviously, to have Bill Clinton literally fly in and rescue you after 140 days. I mean, I'm not, you know, disparaging or downplaying what they experienced, but it's worth pointing out that these are people that are elite themselves, right?
Absolutely, and Gonzalo wasn't. And in fact, you know, you have the situation of what is a journalist nowadays? You know, the mainstream media, of course, would like us to think that only they are qualified mm-hmm. to be journalists. But, you know, America's confidence in the mainstream media is at an all-time low. So you have citizen journalists like Gonzalo Lira and many others who are reporting from on the ground and giving us truths. Of course, we mentioned Assange earlier in his entire operation were about people telling us the truths that they were seeing and witnessing with their own eyes is what journalism used to be. But nowadays, that can be inconvenient for governments like the U.S. government, and it runs against the narrative.
Yeah. And so, Daniel, a little bit about your background. You worked as a staffer on the Hill for many years. In those years, I'm willing to bet that there was a story or two of Americans getting in trouble abroad. I mean, we're kind of rabble-rousers, we're kind of troublemakers when we go abroad. Some names I'm sure we've never heard of. Senators, House members of those people from their home state have probably stepped in to apply pressure at state or perhaps the White House to free their constituent, bring them home. Gonzalo Lira was a California native from Burbank. I mean, this hits close to home. Literally for the both of us, both being California natives. Gavin Newsom is the governor, and Adam Schiff, chief Russiagate people that were propelling this story, this hoax. Adam Schiff, he represents Burbank. Not a peep out of them. What's with this inconsistency of support from even the local side, the local state representatives?
Well, of course, as you know, Manila, it was Adam Schiff himself who saved us from the Russians and the Russian influence in getting Donald Trump elected. That was a personal achievement of Putin himself. So the fact that Gonzalo Lira is also Putin's agent means that Adam is not going to lift a finger for his constituent. Maybe, as you say, if he had come from an elite family that had donated a few million dollars to his campaign, he might have seen things slightly differently. I'm being facetious, but of course you know what the point is, that someone like Gonzalo Lira living in Kharkov is not well connected, like Adam Schiff, don't care. If you make a noise on Capitol Hill, usually it's because there is some political benefit to be derived from making it. And remember when Jamal Khashoggi was murdered? Mm-hmm. He was a journalist. And Matt, look at the uproar in American elite journalism circles over the murder of him. Nothing at all about Gonzalo Lira. So you have this two-tiered system where if you're in with the group that's politically in favor, well, then you have a champion. And if you're not, well, you just die in silence.
Yeah, it's very depressing. Obviously, the circumstances surrounding how Gonzalo Lira died, and you actually wrote a piece about this for the Ron Paul Liberty Report, I believe, that you kind of stick it to Joe Biden. Can you elaborate for us a little more about the circumstances surrounding his death? I mean, this has been. I mean, we talked earlier about Julian Assange, Stella, his wife, calling it murder in slow motion. This was, you know, a little faster than what we're seeing with Assange. Within 9 months, he was dead. Can you explain a little bit of those circumstances and why you were so angered when you heard that he passed?
Well, he had detailed, before he was arrested on the border of Hungary, he had detailed the torture that he underwent in a previous incarceration in Ukraine, the things that they did to him, he alleged, and I believe that they were true, are horrific and are hard to watch, let's put it that way. So you can only imagine what it was like when they nabbed him on the border. And you say, why didn't he sneak over? Well, people might not understand, but there are a lot of ethnic Hungarians on the border between Ukraine in Hungary, and the Ukrainian government has a taste for nabbing them and putting them on the front lines disproportionate to their percentage in the population. So my guess is it was very well guarded. And when they picked him up trying to escape, that probably angered them because he could have made a stink, mm-hmm. a political stink, had he gotten away. So one can mm-hmm. only imagine the circumstances of his incarceration. He ultimately died of double pneumonia. His lung had collapsed. So he was literally fighting for breath for the last month or so, at least, and finally collapsed and died.
Oh, that's just so grim and awful. Lastly, the death of an American, at least it used to be, a very serious issue. But will the death of Gonzalo Lira, will it cause, perhaps you think this being an election year, will it cause any lawmakers here in Washington to reconsider the funding in Ukraine?
It should, and I would hope that it would. I would hope Republicans who are opposed to this funding, I hope they're opposed to it on principle rather than just for political points against Biden. And if any of them are, they should take up the cause. They should say, look, this is the kind of government, this is the kind of regime we're going to be funding. I would hope people like J.D. Vance and Marjorie Taylor Greene and a few others have, I think, been pretty honest and pretty upfront about this. This is a perfect example. This is something low-hanging fruit for them to cling on to oppose further funding for Ukraine.
Yeah, and Daniel, tell me if I'm just kind of pie in the sky or being idealistic, but I mean, I'm the child of immigrants, right? I'm the first American born in my family. And it was always my belief and my understanding that this country kind of abides by the rule of leave no man behind, or woman, or they, or I don't know what climate we're in right now in 2024, but leave no man behind, right? But that doesn't appear to be the case if we're not treating everybody equally when an American is locked up abroad, when no diplomatic effort is even put forth. I mean, doesn't that raise any red flags to our civilian population to say, hey, something is wrong here. I'm going to be afraid to travel now because if something happens to me, this administration's not going to help me.
Well, make your generous donation to the Biden administration before you take that trip abroad, and you should be just fine. Send a nice little love note to Adam Schiff, and you'll be just fine.
yeah, that kind of sounds like where we're at. It's just you got to make sure you donate to your local politician before you go abroad to ensure that, God forbid anything happen, that you're taken care of. What a democracy we're in. What a time to be alive, Daniel McAdams. Thank you so much for being with us. Daniel McAdams is, of course, the executive director at the Ron Paul Institute. You can learn more about their work at the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity by going to ronpaulinstitute.com. So unfortunately, I got to leave it right there. Thank you so much for your time and insight.
Thanks, Manila.
So as you can see in the U.S., the land that purports to be the greatest democracy on earth and claims to value the lives of its citizens, claims to protect its nationals abroad, failed Gonzalo Lira. He paid the ultimate price. He paid with his life for the crime of critical journalism and, I don't know, mean tweets about Joe Biden. I send my deepest condolences to his family. That is going to do it for this episode of Modus Operandi, the show that digs deep into foreign policy and current affairs. I'm your host, Manila Chan. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you again next time to figure out the MO.